This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell. A program for and about America's 78 million baby boomers. New Beginnings topics include end-of-life concerns, health of mind, body, and spirit, housing, finance, and your career. Here's your host, Freddie Bell.
Good morning and hi again, everyone. I'm Freddie Bell. Welcome to New Beginnings, a program designed just for you. If you're a baby boomer, this show is for you. If you're a millennial, this is for you. If you care for people who are boomers or millennials in your audience, or maybe it's just for you, I've got a program designed to help you to navigate the vicissitudes of life. And to help us to get started, we go to now our career expert, Mr. Joe McKenzie. He is the founder of Ripple Connects. He turns candidates into contenders. He's our co-host on the program. You can find him by calling 763-438-1621 or simply go to the website rippleconnects.com to connect with Joe McKenzie. Joe, welcome back to the program and good morning.
Thank you, Freddie Bell, and good morning.
Glad you're with us. Last week when we were together, we talked about your self-directed professional growth plan, and you described many of the benefits of having a professional growth plan, carving it out yourself, spending some time into it, and my words, not yours, but leaning into it to make sure that you've got your plan and you're really ready to tackle 2020 in a big way. So if you don't mind, Mr. McKenzie, can you recap one of the self-directed professional growth pieces that was really important from last week as we set it up for this time around for part two?
Well, we sit on the cusp of the new year 2020, and we talked about taking a reflective attitude towards where we are now in 2019 and where we'd like to be in 2020 in regards to our career and our professional growth. And really the takeaway was reflect and figure out where you want to be, but also engage with your bench of advocates so you can start to map out your self-directed professional growth. We established that don't wait to get called upon. Become the pilot in command of your career and take those small steps to get yourself out of that comfort zone in regards to your career and your professional growth. And it simply started with that, just taking those small steps, joining a Toastmasters club, volunteering, and just feeling like a rookie again. And being in out of your comfort zone results in long-term growth and long-term benefits to you in regards to your career.
Well, it seems as if the bench of advocates does pop up quite often when you talk about your career and a professional growth plan, even a self-marketing plan. Yes. Why is a bench of advocates so important to your self-directed professional growth?
Well, to be honest, you get out of your head. You know, you have all these ideas in your head, and sometimes you start doubting some of your ideas or afraid to share something with someone that knows and trusts you and wants to champion you. Why not have a bench of advocates that you can run an idea by? Because if you're just going to self-doubt yourself on an idea or go off on a tangent or an area that you really know which way to go, you may get frustrated and end it. So the bench of advocates play a number of roles, and they've helped me. And I think everybody should have a bench of advocates. We do not do this alone, and those bench of advocates are the people that know us the best. They listen to us the best. We trust them, and they want to champion us. And they're invaluable. We cannot go it alone, and we certainly want to get out of our own, you know, get those thoughts out of our head to share with people that can certainly add to it.
Believe me, this is not a tangential question or tangent question here, but I want to understand how deep can that bench of advocates be? Is there an ideal number of on your advocate bench?
I don't think so. I think I've got a couple different benches basically set up for what type of opportunity I'm going to step into. It may be more on industry side or leadership growth or just overall personal growth. I've got a number of people on those benches and some cross over, but I don't, you know, I have a deep bench, but it's taken me probably 10 plus years to build it. And I'm proud of that because now it's worthwhile. It's not someone I just met last week. It's someone that's seen me fail. It's people have seen me succeed and people that I've worked through some seen me work through some stuff. And those are the people that know you the best.
All right. And so as we're looking at this, we're talking about some additional steps. What, are there some additional steps that we can take to help a person to begin to carve out their own professional growth plan, Joe?
Yes. Let's go beyond the reflection piece and the bench of advocates. Let's carve out, let's map out in the next 90 days, what's that growth going to be looking like for you in the first 3 months of 2020? And taking that initial step, that diving into the water is so critical to, you know, getting yourself out of that comfort zone. And I wanted to share some ideas. A lot of these ideas I tried for myself and resulted in where I'm at in my career now. You know, think about it. One of the best ways to facilitate professional growth is seeking out unpaid work type of experience. Yes, volunteering in your community. It could be serving on a steering committee, Freddie. It could be potentially on a community advisory board surrounded by people that have different approaches to their jobs that you solve problems together. Possibly serving on a nonprofit board in a volunteer way. That's an early step someone can take that, you know, if you just go to the Minnesota Council of Nonprofits website, you can see volunteer opportunities such as that. That is a very actionable step in my book because so many organizations need that brain power, that diversity of thought. And I've seen it firsthand where I've become a better leader because of the people around me. And I've taken that back to my job, Freddie, or the company that I built. And that has resulted in professional growth. Just surrounding myself with people that think differently, that process information differently than I do. What a great way to grow as a professional when you're sitting next to someone that solves problems differently than you. Isn't that something you can take back? Yes, sir. I don't think a lot of people realize that when you volunteer.
So volunteering is underrated. I believe that you gain a lot when you volunteer. And that sounds like an oxymoron.
Exactly. Especially on the professional side. I think people are so worried that it's going to take up my time, take away from my job. We've had a whole segment on cognitive diversity, and it's simply people that process information in different perceptions and experiences. Volunteering puts you in the middle of people that think differently, right?
That's right.
And you see firsthand how you go about solving problems. Why couldn't you take that back to your organization and potentially apply that there? I think that is one of the biggest benefits in regards to volunteering and results in professional growth is showing up and being engaged and being open to putting yourself out there and putting your leadership on the line. That's one way you could put it out there. How about this? Think about being a mentor to someone. And, or if you needed a mentor, be open to having a mentor. I have been in positions to be a mentor to someone, and I have select mentors that have helped me grow. So that's another area that professional growth can occur is mentoring someone. You might have a different thought process than the person you're mentoring, and they may share it with you. You may realize the gifts that you have as a mentor, or if you have mentors, they may bring the best out of you. So there's another actionable step. January is National Mentoring Month. We're going to do a whole segment on a compelling case on why to mentor, but you know, in the case of self-directed professional growth, ready, mentoring could be a cornerstone to someone's self-directed professional growth in the coming year.
Wow. Everybody, we're talking about your self-directed professional growth for 2020. And from what I'm gathering from Joe McKenzie, you have to take the reins yourself to make sure that you're moving forward in the direction of your dreams. And so, Joe, if you were to recap and if you wanted to leave some final thoughts with us, the things that we need to remember, and then secondly, things that we can do this weekend to take a hold of our professional growth, what would that be?
Well, first of all, realize that don't wait to be called upon. So if you're sitting in an organization waiting for someone to send you to a conference or give you a new opportunity, don't wait. Raise your hand. T- tell your company that you want to be a part of, you know, conferences in the coming year. But if that's not going to be a reality or an something that you can do, self-direct your own professional growth. Get completely outside of what you're doing and realize that you can get outside your comfort zone. And those actionable steps this weekend, Freddie, take that first step in 90 days. Think about where you'd want, where you could have an impact early, get an early win. And it could be serving on an advisory board or a steering committee or mentoring someone. Those are some actionable steps that someone can take in the next 90 days that quite possibly could result in professional growth that you directed.
All right. That's Joe McKenzie, the founder of Ripple Connects, our co-host on the program. And you can find him at rippleconnects.com, 763-438-1621. You do some fine work at Ripple Connects, Joe McKenzie.
Yes, we do, Freddie Bell. We turn candidates into contenders.
And you're listening to New Beginnings.
If you are ready to reinvent, recalibrate, or retool your career, Ripple Connects can help. That's rippleconnects.com. We work one-on-one with our clients in a safe, collaborative fashion designed to significantly improve the likelihood of landing the ideal engagement. Take control of your job search and create your ideal future. Engage with Ripple Connects, where we turn candidates into contenders. For more information, rippleconnects.com.
At Vision Loss Resources, we understand. We know that vision loss leads to struggles with daily tasks and feelings of isolation that can be overwhelming. Through our expertise, range of resources, and supportive community, you or someone you care for can learn to adapt, connect, and thrive. We're Vision Loss Resources. Our number is 612-871-2222. Online, visionlossresources.org.
You're listening to New Beginnings on AM 950. And I want to continue right here and give you some information about AARP. There's always more to discover with your AARP membership. You have access to a wide variety of carefully chosen discounts, information, and services, and an advocate for important issues like Medicare and Social Security. Here are just some of the other member benefits from AARP. Insurance, access to auto, dental, home, life, vision, and other quality coverage for your health needs from top companies, including the AARP Dental Insurance Plan administered by Delta Dental Insurance Company. How about family caregiving? We talked about that earlier. Care guides, simple checklists, support options, and other free resources designed to help you care for your loved ones, all available online through AARP family caregiving sites. And also health and wellness, brain health tips, online tools, savings for eye exams and eyewear, and a free annual hearing test by phone. You also can get work and jobs, resources to help you find a second career or part-time work, plus access to the AARP job board, a job search tool for workers who are 50 years old and over. I know you love to travel. Vacation ideas for every budget and discounts on hotels and car rentals, flights from British Airways, vacation packages, and more. And, of course, finances. You can find online calculators to help you manage your finances, access to money management tips, and more. Explore all of your benefits with the easy-to-use enhanced destination. That's AARP.org/benefits. You can download their free app right now for your digital membership card, daily news, local events, and benefits in your area.
You're listening to New Beginnings.
New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Registered representatives of Strategic Visionaries are registered with and offer securities through Securities America, Inc., member SIPC.
Happy weekend, everyone, and welcome back to New Beginnings, a place to start your new beginnings and give you a new way of thinking as well. With me right now as we go into the next segment of our program is Whitney Emanuel. She is the visionary behind Strategic Visionaries at 612-296-6939 online, strategic-visionaries.com. And once again, that telephone number is 612-296-6939. Whitney, welcome back.
Thank you.
Glad you're with us. And let's talk this week about the three features of investments. And quite frankly, when I think about investments, I think of it as just one huge bucket. But with you as our expert, apparently, there are more features than what I originally had thought. So what are the three features of investments?
Yeah, so you're not the first one person to say that. It's just looking at your investments through a different lens. Mm-hmm. So the first is liquidity. So what liquidity is how quickly can I get to my money? So one is liquidity. Two is return. So how high of a rate of return can I get from this investment? And three is safety. How safe or guaranteed is my investment? So those are the real, those are the three features that I review with my clients regarding their investments.
So can you have all three at the same time?
It's close to impossible.
Why is that?
Well, because it's really two out of three. So if something's highly liquid and has a high rate of return, it's not going to be high in safety, because return and safety do not typically go hand in hand unless you give up liquidity. You can have something that's high return and high safety, like I mentioned, but it's generally going to be low in liquidity. And then you can have something that's high in liquidity and high in safety, but then you're not going to get a very high rate of return out of it. So you have to make sure that you understand that with your investments.
Wow. So those three areas are liquidity, which is quick access, return, how hard is my money going to work for me? And then safety, is this money guaranteed or not? Or what level of guarantee is there?
Right. So there are a lot of different guarantees with investments. It depends on what they are. So let's talk about something that's high in safety, and also high in liquidity, for example. So that's going to be cash, right? So you can get to it at any time. It's safe, but you don't get a good rate of return on it. CDs, you can get an okay rate of return on these. Maybe at this point, I've seen some for 2 or 3% at most. But they are fairly liquid, but again, low rate of return. And some cash value life insurance, like whole life insurance or universal life insurance that's invested not aggressively. Again, you can get to that cash. It is safe, but it does have a lower rate of return. So those are some examples that are high in safety, but they have a low rate of return because they're easily accessible.
What about a high rate of return?
So there's high rate of return and high liquidity. So let's combine those two.
Mm-hmm.
But what you get with that is low safety. So stocks, right? Stocks are not very safe because you're invested in a company. And if that company does poorly, so does your investment. So although you can get high rate of return and you can get to it within 2 to 3 days, it is low in safety. Same with exchange traded funds and mutual funds. Those do have a range with the rate of return and the risk that they're willing to take on. For example, you can take a bond mutual fund or a stock mutual fund and compare those. But none of those are going to have a guarantee. So they're still low in safety compared to cash, for example.
Mm-hmm. Everyone, we're talking about the three features of investments. But it's interesting to me. It seems as if you really can't sit down yourself and go, okay, I want high liquidity and I want my return to be low safety. And then what do I invest in? How do I move my money? How can a layperson make these kinds of decisions?
Yeah, it's a great question. So first is to write everything down. So even if you're not working with a financial advisor, just see where all your money is and see. So like, let's say an average person here, like you said, a layman's, they're going to have a 401k through work. And then let's say they have a savings account.
Okay.
So all they have to do is say, okay, I have this 401k. It's not guaranteed. Unless you have a guaranteed fund within your 401k, for the most part, it's not guaranteed. So you've got a high rate of return. It's highly liquid in the fact that you can make changes within the 401k at any time. If you take out money, of course, there are penalties, but that's because there's a tax shelter over it. But the investments within the 401k, you know, you can change those, but it's low safety, right? So that's where that falls. But then the cash that they have, it's highly liquid, it's safe, but it's a low rate of return. So they've already checked off two boxes that they have. But when you work with a financial advisor, They're actually going to show you your overall asset allocation, and they're going to look at it. And what I do is I look at it from both an investment feature lens, which is what we're doing today, from a tax lens, and then from an asset allocation lens. So stocks, bonds, cash, etc.
Well, it seems as if it's a pretty complex mix when you're trying to take care of all of those. You want some safety, you want some liquidity, and you want a return, but we've already heard from the outset that it's really difficult to have all three of those. Are there some alternative ideas that a person who's looking at making some, you know, interesting investment side, they're trying to really diversify their portfolio, can make and still achieve close to all three?
Well, good question. So achieving all three is possible when you diversify your investments in the different buckets. Those three different buckets, right? So that's number one. The third one that we didn't have a chance to talk about is the high safety and high return with low liquidity.
Ah.
So that's going to be things like annuities. It depends on the annuity. However, if you have an annuity that's fixed interest rate, it's going to give you a higher rate of return than a CD. However, it's not as liquid. You have a charge if you take your money out sooner. So you're giving up that liquidity in order to get a higher rate of return. Then there are annuities with safety riders. So maybe they're invested in the stock market, but they're not as easy to get to because they have these guarantees on there that prevent you from losing money. So that's, again, low liquidity, but high safety in return. Some alternative investments. And then individual bonds. Not many people know about individual bonds when I talk to them, but this is an investment that a lot of people who are more advanced in age are interested in because they are fairly accessible, but they're not as accessible as, and they're more accessible than annuities, but they're not as accessible as cash. So they're in the middle. They give a decent rate of return compared to a cash or CD. They do provide potentially some tax benefits, but you have to wait for the term of the bond in order to access it. So like a 5-year bond or a 10-year bond, 2-year bond, you have to wait for that term in order to get your guaranteed money out of it. If you don't wait, you don't get the guarantee. So again, low on liquidity, but higher than on the safety and return.
Now, when you talk about bonds, and this is really rudimentary, but you're not talking about the federal savings bonds. These are different types of bonds.
Well, savings bonds do fall into the bonds bucket, but then there are treasury bonds.
Yes.
That's what the Federal Reserve really controls. So there's government bonds. So that's federal government bonds that the government issues. And there are several different levels of those bonds. And it really depends on the time frame for them. So the liquidity, they have various levels of liquidity. Then we have state bonds or municipal bonds. So those are going to be school district bonds or general obligation for the streets and roads. So you've got bonds there. And then you also have corporate bonds. So those are going to be bonds that are issued by corporations in order to do projects within the company. So those are private, whereas the first two that I mentioned are government. The government bonds are safer than corporate bonds.
Well, if there's one thing we should remember as a takeaway for this week, what would that be?
Meet with a financial advisor if you already have money saved and you're not sure if it's split up the correct way in these three buckets or in your tax buckets, like I mentioned before, or asset allocation with risk, which we talked about in the last program. Make sure that you meet with somebody and just get a second opinion or even a first opinion if you're not working with anybody. Typically, that first meeting, we can give you some general advice and there's no obligation or fee, and it's definitely worth an hour of your day to just sit down and get an assessment, just like you would go to the doctor to get a physical.
Same thing. Calling on Dr. Whitney, Strategic Visionaries, 612-296-6939 online. Strategic-Visionaries.com. This is New Beginnings.
Thanks, Freddie.
Are you tired of the extra weight? Are you fed up with smoking? Is fear running your life? Do you feel stuck? Well, keep listening. Call 952-222-3975 or visit westmetrohypnosis.com. Hypnosis feels really good and is very effective in getting results. Remember, 952-222-3975, West Metro Hypnosis, empowering you to master your life.
Our show features the concerns of America's 78 million baby boomers in employment, finance, health and nutrition, spirituality, and even entertainment. Every day is a chance for a fresh start.
Freddie welcomes Kelly Von Heidekamp of West Metro Hypnosis.
Hi, everyone. I am Freddie Bell. Good morning to you. You got here right on time on this incredible Saturday morning, and we're so happy that you're with us. And right now, we get an opportunity to talk with Kelly Von Heidekamp of West Metro Hypnosis. You can find her at 952-222-3975 or simply westmetrohypnosis.com. Good morning, Kelly, and welcome back to our program.
There's no place I'd rather be right now, Freddie.
You say the right things, and let's transition. That's the title of our conversation today, Transitions. In what way do you mean it this weekend, Kelly?
Well, of course, it's towards the end of the year, and we're in that weird phase where the holidays are over, the end of the year is coming, that just sort of not having anything to do with reality phase between Christmas and the new year. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, where everybody's, it's just a really weird phase. So I thought transition would be a perfect topic. And I'm reading here about what the word transition means, and it says, in common English, a transition is a movement, passage, or change from one position, state, stage, subject, concept to another. The word comes from the Latin word transire, which means to go across, and often refers to the process, not the end result. So I think it's important to kind of use this phase of time to think about where we've come from, as many people do at this time of the year, and where we're headed, and know that it is a transition. It is a transition to identify the things that we no longer want or are necessary, or the things that no longer serve us in our lives, and to begin to think about what the future holds, and to really allow yourself to be in this space of limbo, of not being here nor there, but being in this space in between as you begin to identify what you're willing to release and what you are willing to take on, what new identity, what new characteristics are going to be more beneficial for you. So many people form these things in resolutions, in the form of resolutions, what they are going to do differently. And I'm going to invite people, if you're contemplating resolutions about the new year, I'm going to invite you into thinking on bigger terms. So in sort of human evolution, there's the thinking part of us as humans, and then there's the doing part of us as humans, and then there is the being part. And when we are focused on being, how we are showing up, who we are in that moment, doing that new thing, it affects our doing and it affects our thinking when we simply make the transition into a new way of being. It makes everything else easier. So as you're thinking about resolutions and what you're moving towards, I invite you to think of terms of, what are you willing to become? How are you going to show up? What attributes? More joyful, more present, more in the moment? What exactly does this mean to you as we move into the new year?
Well, I'll take that on really quickly, because based on what we've been talking about the last several weeks, I want to be more joyous. I want to be more loving. I have peace, and I want to exemplify faith and hope.
Awesome. That is well summarized, Freddie. Perfect.
And that's Kelly Von Heidekamp of West Metro Hypnosis, 952-222-3975. And let's transition as our New Beginnings program continues.
It's time to wake up and finally go after that goal and create that success that you've been wanting for so long. West Metro Hypnosis is making it so easy to find out how powerful hypnosis can be to help you make positive changes in your life. For only $49, you can schedule your discovery session to discover how powerful you really are. and how hypnosis can help you reach your goals. So what limitation have you accepted about yourself? That you can't lose weight, that you can't stop smoking, that you can't get over a fear, that you can't. $49 will show you how possible your goal really is. Call Kelly today at 952-222-3975 to schedule your $49 discovery session. You'll be surprised at how good it feels to finally be creating your success. 952-222-3975. West Metro Hypnosis. Wake up to your success.
Just a spokesman.
Hey ladies, have you ever wanted a place where you could network, shop, eat, laugh, and learn? Sister Spokesman is that place. Held the first Saturday of every month, Sister Spokesman takes place from 12 to 4 p.m. at various locations throughout the Twin Cities. And it's sponsored by the Minnesota Spokesman Recorder. Vendor opportunities are also available. For more information, 612-827-4021 or online at spokesman-recorder.com.
Sister Spokesman.
You're listening to New Beginnings.
New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
As we continue on New Beginnings on the very first day of 2020, several tweaks to Social Security will affect both beneficiaries and some workers paying into the system. And here's what you need to know. Monthly benefits will increase. That's good news. Checks will be slightly larger beginning in January as a 1.6% cost of living adjustment kicks in. The average beneficiary will see a jump of roughly $24 a month or $288 for the year. The maximum monthly benefit will also rise. A single recipient can get as much as $3,011 per month in 2020, up from $2,861. If you've begun receiving benefits but you won't reach the full retirement age of 66 until 2021 or later, you'll be able to earn more in 2020 before $1 is deducted for every two that you earn. The new limit is $18,240. If you'll turn 66 in 2020, you'll also be able to earn $48,600 before the agency deducts a dollar for every $3 that you earn until you reach full retirement age. Some of those paying into the system will pay more. Workers pay 6.2% of their earnings to fund Social Security. In 2019, that was capped at the first $132,900 earned, and that cap will also rise to $137,700. Now, how much you have to earn to gain a Social Security credit edges up from $1,360 per three-month quarter to $1,410. In most cases, to qualify for benefits, you'll need a minimum of 40 credits or 10 years worth. Those on Supplemental Security Income, a federal program that aids the aged, the blind, and people with disabilities who have little or no income, will see a rise in their benefits from $771 a month to $783. The amount for couples also rises from $1,157 to $1,175. To check the amount of your 2020 Social Security monthly benefit, sign in or create a My Social Security account at socialsecurity.gov/my account. You're listening to New Beginnings this weekend, and I just came across some information about deaths from falls doubling in a decade. More older Americans are dying or being severely injured in falls, and the cost of treating those injuries are straining the healthcare budget. That according to a report issued by the U.S. Senate Special Committee on Aging. Look at this. In 2017, more than 31,000 older Americans suffered fatal injuries from falls, almost twice as many as a decade earlier. Falls are the leading cause of fatal and non-fatal injuries for adults 65 years of age and older, that according to the report. The annual cost to the U.S. healthcare system reached $50 billion in 2015. It could double by 2030. Medicare and Medicaid bear 75% of these costs. In addition to the physical and emotional trauma of falls, the financial toll is staggering. Staying active is proven to reduce risk of falls among older adults. The key thing is to be really careful about how we're walking as we get older. And here's a quick report about antibiotics, its use, and its abuse. Older adults use more antibiotics than anyone else in the country, and they occasionally misuse the drugs that, according to the National Poll on Healthy Aging, it was conducted by the University of Michigan in partnership with AARP. More than 2,000 Americans ages 50 to 80 talked about their use of antibiotics. 48% used a prescription antibiotic in the past 2 years. 19% have taken leftover antibiotics or one from someone else without talking to a doctor for a prescription. 56% believe antibiotics are overprescribed. Another 89% feel that overusing antibiotics would make them ineffective eventually. And then 34% believe antibiotics have helped them beat a persistent cold or a flu. And finally, 23% believe that doctors are too reluctant to give out antibiotics. Where do you fall in this information list with regard to your medication? You're listening to New Beginnings this weekend, and we're really excited to talk to you even more about drugs and prescriptions. There are several high-profile drug recalls that have rattled consumer confidence, and I'm wondering how you are being affected by this, and I've got some things that you might want to consider. This topic is really important because tainted blood pressure and heart failure drugs have been in the headlines in recent months. More than 1,000 lots of these generic ARBs, angiotensin II receptor blockers, from roughly 24 drug makers were recalled between July 2018 and mid-October 2019 after unsafe levels of NDMA as well as other probable carcinogens and a third potential carcinogens were discovered in FDA tests. In June of 2019, an independent testing lab warned of another impurity in valsartan, the probable human carcinogen used to treat high blood pressure and congestive heart failure, and is also used to help prevent strokes. The report says that more than 79 million prescriptions for ARBs in 2016 have been prescribed. Also, prescription and over-the-counter OTC versions of Zantac and digestive medications known as H2 blockers have been recalled by some drug makers and pulled from drugstore shelves after tests found low levels of NDMA in many of these products. In late October, five additional makers of these drugs announced voluntary recalls. So how worried should you be? And the question is, are your drugs safe? The FDA is still investigating, but the sources of these various problems seems to be very different. In the case of ARBs, there appear to be serious issues in the manufacturing active ingredients in the drugs. Compounds in the other drugs seem to form NDMAs as the drug is broken down in the body, a process not previously suspected. Experts differ about what it all means for the safety of American drugs, many of which are produced outside the United States. Many say it's a very serious problem. The recalls are very highly visible and very disconcerting, but the generic supply chain is safe. These are isolated incidents. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration is trying to harmonize inspections with other countries. They've always been very clear that the FDA should have the resources to do its job. Here's what the experts say that you should know and do if a drug you take has been recalled or pulled from the drugstore shelves. First of all, you might get a call, a letter, or an email from your pharmacy or your doctor's office if a prescription drug has been taken off the market or has been recalled. You can also call the pharmacy that fills your prescriptions. You can go to its website, or you can check the FDA's online list of recalled drugs at fda.gov/drugs, or you can call 888-463-6332, 888-463-6332. And what do you need to do to check for a recall? You'll need the drug's name, the generic, and the brand name if the drug has one dose, a manufacturer's name, and a lot number to check against the FDA recall list. You'll find some or all of that on the label. Hardest to find, though, is the lot number. Usually, it is printed next to the expiration date near the label's barcode or near the directions for use. On a drug blister pack, check the foil backing. For creams and gels, the lot number may be on the back of the tube. but the lot number and the manufacturer's name might be missing from the label entirely. In that case, your drugstore can provide more information. If you'd like more details about this, all you have to do is give me a call at 888-639-9738, and we'll give you more information about the recent recalls and what you can do to protect yourself. You're listening to New Beginnings. I'm Freddie Bell, and our program continues right now.
This is the Real Possibilities Update, your guide to all the exciting things that are happening with AARP in the Twin Cities. Because if you don't think Real Possibilities in the Twin Cities when you think AARP, well, then you don't know ARP. Get to know AARP and see all the real possibilities right here in the Twin Cities at aarp.org/Twin Cities.
You're listening to New Beginnings. New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Welcome back to New Beginnings. And as we enter the holidays, the Reverend Festus Yumigiego from the Unity South Church in Bloomington, 7950 First Avenue South, you're invited to join Unity South. There are two Sunday services, either at 9 a.m. or at 10:30. Unity South, embracing, loving, empowerment. Reverend Festus is continuing a lesson on Advent Sundays.
A healthy community, including churches, including governments, including nations, are not possible wholesome, can never be wholesome unless there is a willingness to let go, both personal and in community. So can forgiveness perhaps be at the root of what it makes for a wholesome family, both biological, communal, and the world at large? Candy said an eye for an eye makes us all ultimately blind. And that is the real central legacy. When we're going to talk about, if we talk about love, we have to ask, what are the ingredients, which is the theme of this Sunday, that go into making for a loving family? During my last Sunday visit with the young people downstairs, I was engaged by the YOU group very much. It seems that their minds are truly engaged in the difficult issues of our relationship with one another. Some of us still remember when such questions burned in our hearts when we were young, when we were idealistic, and we wanted to know what it meant to love one another. We actually ask this question, and we ask them with some seriousness. Now, we don't necessarily ask them for seriousness. We sometimes ask them for intellectual discussion, which is a totally different conversation altogether. But the young people downstairs were really serious. They wanted to know, how do I manage my spiritual life? How can I be spiritual? What are the tools do I need? How do I deal with the day-to-day annoyances, difficulties, and hurts? What does it mean to love one another? Love my enemy. Especially when our enemies are our siblings or our schoolmates. For our young people, the question of forgiveness seems to be the root of their struggle for spiritual identity. What does it mean to be spiritual, to trust, to surrender to God, and yet to have individual power of choice? How do we resist the natural urge for revenge, to pluck an eye for an eye? These were the questions they asked with all seriousness and a sense of struggle to square the truth that they're learning in unity, as unity principles, with a natural impulse for revenge and holding grudges. Truth meets the road. They asked me, how about 9/11? Did we not have to strike back? How can Mandela forgive 24 years of imprisonment and generations of cruelty and racial degradation and deprivation resulting in generations of poverty? They asked me, and I said to them, the best I could, consider the cost of revenge. How many lives have to be lost in order to get back. And I actually specifically said, how many lives did we lose in trying to deal with 9/11? In all sides. In all sides. It wasn't about 9/11. It's about us making peace with how to move forward, which is what Nelson Mandela did. He couldn't rewrite that history of it. I asked them, what price are we willing to pay in peace of mind and serenity if we're willing to pay to cut our nose? Do we cut our nose to spite our face? So if not forgiveness, what do we have? How do we build a family? How do we build a society? How do you build an effective and healthy organization? Forgiveness is not really about being nice and good, but about the wholeness of our own being, our emotions, our functionality, and a whole system. Certainly, the Christmas story primarily focuses on the birth of Jesus as the Messiah of the Christian faith. Yet, Jesus was not born in a vacuum. He did have a family that must have given him something, some foundation, as families should. One's primary family can be a primary source of encouragement and support, or an exact opposite. The family at its best is a great foundation, bending and swaying and being flexible enough at times to keep the family members together in some kind of progressive peace. A family is a vehicle for changing life, the birthplace of creativity, the formation center for human relationships, a shelter in time of storm, a perpetual relay of truth, a door that hangs, hinges, and a lock, but all, and above all, it is a door that is always opens, and is always welcoming. A museum of memories, things we cherish. Let's focus on the unit that Mary and Joseph were born into. It wasn't easy, was it? Mary was a very young woman, 18 years, maybe 20, when she was married and trust with this responsibility of raising a child. And not only that, she had, she came back and reported to Joseph that she was pregnant and of the Holy Spirit. And the tradition would have made Joseph to kick her out and have her stoned. Because how do you wrap your hand around you're a man, a woman, or in this case a man? And she comes over and says, I'm pregnant, but it's by the power of the Holy Spirit. The angel told me so. So she herself already has struggles. How can this be, she said. I don't know how to translate that, but how can it be, can be translated in many ways. In other words, how do I deal with this? I'm so young. And the formal marriage hasn't happened yet. How do you explain this to Joseph? And Joseph is supposed to throw her out. And Joseph said, I will hang with you no matter what that entails. Whether it means social disgrace and other things, I am with you. Isn't that how the family at its best is? That I will be by your side and support you regardless of the price, the shame, the ridicule, the social ostracization. A wholesome family shelters its members in time of storm. A husband and a wife pull together the inner resources together when the relationship gets rocky. They face the situation as a family. The family rallies when any of the children, like a stray sheep, falls away and falls into a ditch. They try to come together. Now, I didn't say it's going to be easy. Some of us know the agony of dealing with things like that. How can this be, since I am a virgin, Mary said. How can I be trusted with this situation? A family is a place where the door to the heart is always open. The only thing we really ask, or should be asked of us, is to have an open heart.
You just heard a message coming from Unity South in the Twin Cities. More information is found at their website at unitysouth.org.
Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name.
You want to be in a place where people know your name. The message is positive and you feel fulfilled. Come be inspired at Unity South Church. Unity South is a non-denominational spiritual community with roots in love, acceptance, and prayer. We believe that you have an indwelling spark of divinity. Come visit us this Sunday for the interactive discussion at 9 a.m. or the regular service at 10:30 a.m. Unity South is located at 7950 First Avenue South in Bloomington. A stimulating and uplifting Sunday school for preschool through 18 years old. Unity South Church, embracing, loving, empowering.
Where everybody knows your name. And they're always glad you came.
If you are ready to reinvent, recalibrate, or retool your career, Ripple Connects can help. That's RippleConnects.com. We work one-on-one with our clients in a safe, collaborative fashion designed to significantly improve the likelihood of landing the ideal engagement. Take control of your job search and create your ideal future. Engage with Ripple Connects, where we turn candidates into contenders. For more information, RippleConnects.com.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. Thanks for making us a part of your weekend on New Beginnings. This is Freddie Bell reminding you that every day is a chance for a new beginning. Goodbye, everybody.